We dearly need by the Baja Marimbas.
Here's Monitor 9 on NBC.
Yeah. It's January 31st. That'll wake them up out there. There's the old news. I like the last day of the month. I stay up until midnight and rip a page off the calendar. Boy, that brings the roses back to the old cheeks. The price is right, anyway. We'll hear about a party where the price was wrong. $1,000 a plate. But the entertainment was great. That after Bossa Rio with Blackbird.
Blackbird singing in a dead of night. Texas broken angel occupied. All alive.
Bye.
$1,000 a plate. Brought their own sandwiches, I guess. Well, about 1,500 people attended the gala benefit for the Eisenhower Medical Center. Among the guests were Cardinal Cook, Joe Namath, Johnny Cash, Arnold Palmer, Raquel Welch, and others too famous to mention. When they were all seated in the grand ballroom of the Waldorf Astoria here in New York, Bob Hope took over as master of ceremonies.
I do want to thank you for helping this worthy cause. You know, the Eisenhower Medical Center in Palm Desert, California, has the healthiest climate in the world, but we still need a hospital. We must help the tourists from Los Angeles to come to Palm Springs, breathe the fresh air, and black out. It may interest you to know that you're part of a historical first, a hospital being built without the aid of Danny Thomas. I want to tell you that this banquet has certainly been quite an experience for me. I've never made 1,400 enemies with a seating chart before. Now I understand the Paris peace talks. When we handed out the tickets, I want to tell you, I was just inside the door for emergency, and I haven't seen so much pouting since Tiny Tim and Phyllis Diller arrived at the party wearing the same hairdo. But this is a most distinguished audience. I have never seen so many captains of industry, but I know you're going to love the show. For a finish, we're going to burn Ralph Nader in effigy. And I want to tell you, all the captains of industry are here. The Xerox company sent a copy of their president. And both the president of Pepsi-Cola and Coca-Cola are here. And it's the first time I ever ordered a glass of water and got hissed. President Nixon, I'm sorry, couldn't make it tonight, as though anyone expected him to. He's with Prime Minister Wilson breaking a tea bag tonight. But I didn't expect him here. He doesn't even have a White House in this state. No, I think he's been doing a fine job. How about the president's State of the Union speech? He says he has a vision of a nation without crime, poverty, or pollution, which is the way he's been carrying on ever since he made Timothy Leary his personal physician. No, it was wonderful seeing the president addressing the combined Senate and House. It's the first time they've been together all year. No, I thought it was a powerful attack on pollution. It's the first time a president ever finished the speech and ate his notes. You get something out of that? I kept looking for his earring. The way he was talking, I thought he was Mr. Clean. No, the president's going to crack down on all forms of air pollution, and that could mean closing Congress. I used to think the smog was bad in Los Angeles. That was until I came to New York. Here they freeze it and sell it for ice cubes. Now, the air here in New York is pretty bad. It's pitiful to see pigeons in front of drugstores begging for cough drops. Now, and President Nixon has his own political reasons for cleaning up the smog. How can you keep in the middle of the road if you can't see the white line? We really have water pollution. Who'd ever think you could walk to New Jersey without using the bridge? Man, when you get there, it's not too clean. No, I didn't realize how bad it was until I saw the Weehawken ferry coming in holding its nose. No, I enjoyed his speech, the president's speech, and of course he didn't mention our foreign policy, but Fulbright didn't tell him what it is, so I guess... Now, the president has two major long-term goals, one to eventually end the war in Vietnam, the other to eventually appoint a Supreme Court justice.
That's funny. But the Weehawken ferry, well, I guess old Bob hasn't been down on the waterfront lately. That hasn't been running for nigh on to a year now. Any Weehawken ferry we have is sort of a Flying Dutchman. Bob Hope, by the way, picked up the tab for the cost of that dinner, $70,000, so that all the proceeds could go to the new Eisenhower Medical Center scheduled to open in Palm Desert, California next year. And you can see and hear more of the evening's entertainment on February 16th as a Bob Hope special on NBC television. Right now, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
WNBC, New York.
Andy Kim sings A Friend in the City.
Did you really think it wouldn't show? Hell, you can't look me in the eye. Sometimes I wish I didn't know, 'cause it's enough to make me cry. You have a friend in the city. Now there's no need to deny it. You have a friend in the city. And I can't take more of what I'm going through. I know about all your shopping sprees and all those Wednesday matinees. Darling, give me some credit, please. I wasn't born yesterday. You have a friend in the city. Now there's no need to deny you do. You have a friend in the city. And I can't take more of what I'm going through. In a while I told myself, but it would hurt more to let you stay. Go to your friend in the city and tell him things I forgot mine. He can have you all the time. You have a friend in the city. Now there's no need to deny you do.
Gourmet is what he's called because he's a fast man in the kitchen, Graham Kerr.
The stopping sound of carbon steel against the back doorstep is something which really, you know, stiffens my spine. Little hairs rise on the back of my neck and, you know, it is really an unpleasant sound. But this is what Trina does, and this is Trina, my wife, and this is how she sharpens up my favorite Sabatier knives. Of course, this drives me right out of my mind. How do you sharpen a knife? It's very difficult to describe this to you, but let us take it that you must have, in my opinion, a carving steel, you know, like used to be sold with carving sets for the table. And you place your hand on top of this, you paint the point of the carving steel onto a wooden board, and then you stroke the knife either side at an angle of 30 degrees or less, to the knife, running from the heel of the knife to the tip of the knife on both strokes, both sides. That way, you'll never cut yourself and have a perfectly sharp knife. Graham Kerr for NBC Monitor.
Well, that isn't the way you sharpen a knife at all. You use that slot on the back of the can opener. It costs $15.90 on sale. I bought it once. Doesn't sharpen the knife too well, but it makes a nice noise. I do prefer the way Trina, his wife, does the sharpening on the back porch. I get out on my back porch to sharpen a knife, I'd fall 17 floors to my early death. Well, the Galloper leaps back later today on Monitor when he'll prove his strength by crushing a clove of garlic. Here's Florence Henderson, Conversations.
You come here often. Have we met before? Tell me your impressions. Could you like me more? Could you even love me? Is it too early to tell?
Pan Am 747 speaks for itself. Just listen to these Pan Am passengers.
Oh, I thought it was glorious. I'm so big, I love big spaces. It just gives you an entirely new feeling about traveling, I think.
A fantastic width compared to a normal aircraft.
Much more of a homey atmosphere. It's not quite so formal somehow. Being able to walk around and talk to people, and it's very convenient.
What I appreciate also is the big screen for the movie and flight.
Well, I would say that Pan Am 747 have given the tourist rider an opportunity to enjoy a little bit more of a first-class type of flight.
Our only worry is that our company, when they see how comfortable it is, will stop us flying first class. That's the only...
You've been listening to the plane that speaks for itself. Pan Am 747, the plane with all the room in the world. For reservations to Europe and the Caribbean, call a Pan Am travel agent and ask for a Pan Am 747.
Now, Monitor Sports. Steve Owens, the Heisman Trophy winner from Oklahoma, was picked by the Detroit Lions during the first round of pro football's draft this week. But Owens is the first to admit that he had some anxious moments. He wasn't selected until well into the first round. Monitor Sports editor Len Dillon reports.
Steve Owens, congratulations on being picked number 19 in the draft and by the Detroit Lions.
Well, thank you. It's very nice to be picked like by a team like Detroit. I feel like they're a very young team. They're coming on, and I think it'd be nice playing for a winner.
Had you any idea you were going to be picked by the Lions?
I had no idea at all, because I just didn't think I'd probably go with Detroit. I don't know why, but after the decision and after I talked with Coach Smith about how enthusiastic they are up there about winning and I feel very happy to go with a team like Detroit, and I'm just very happy about it.
Did you have a preference?
I tell you, if I had one preference of all, I would like to have played in New York City if I could have, but it didn't turn out that way. But I have no doubt that I'll enjoy Detroit very much.
Steve, what kind of a back would you describe yourself as?
Well, I think I'm a power back, an inside runner. At Oklahoma, I ran out of the I formation, a tailback position, and all I did was run inside, and I would like to have the opportunity to try to run outside, and because I feel like you have to in professional football, but I'm 6'2", about 220, and so I consider myself just a power runner.
Do you think you have enough speed for outside running?
I think I do. I run about a 4.740, which I think is ample speed, and I don't think speed is everything. I think your ability as a runner to pick your holes and you get this through experience, and I think that's much more important than having blazing speed, because I don't think you see that many long runs in pro football anyway, so I plan to play as hard as I can and let everything take care of itself.
Now, Oklahoma had three picks in the first 19 during the first round. Zabel went first, Files number two, and then you. That's quite a compliment for a university to have three players in the first round.
Well, I think so. I think the university is very happy about the football program and having three first-round draft choices. And I know Steve and Jim, very good friends of mine, and I know they're very happy about it. Now, before I left Oklahoma, Jim was very concerned about it because he didn't know if he thought he was going to be drafted about the third or fourth round. Of course, Steve going to Philadelphia. He's been looking forward to playing professional football, and I know they'll have very outstanding careers.
Well, Steve Owens, Heisman Trophy winner, congratulations on being picked in the first round and by the Detroit Lions, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Glenn Dillon for Monitor Sports. Stop now with Edmore Monitor, Henry Morgan, the conductor.
One responsibility of the New York State Health Department is to alert the public to everyday dangers. Now, in the public interest, the department is asking your cooperation. Its Bureau of Emergency Health Services is investigating accidents relating to household products. It needs data on accidents involving appliances, clothing, building fixtures, any product used around the home. Reports of actual cases will help the Bureau alert people to the danger of similar accidents. Here's how you can help. If you read a newspaper report of such an accident, clip the item and mail it to the State Regional Health Office in your locality. Mark it for the attention of the emergency medical care representative. Once more, mail clippings of local accidents to the regional health office of the New York State Health Department nearest you. Marked for the attention of the emergency medical care representative. You'll be rendering a service to all the people of the state.
WNBC, New York.
What if the winter brings ice and snow?
Monitor warms your heart, makes you glow.
You won't mind freezing if you spend the season with NBC.
For the children and the flowers are my sisters and my brothers. Their laughter and their loveliness would clear a cloudy day. Like the music of the mountains and the colors of the rainbow, they're a promise of the future and a blessing for today. So you speak to me of sadness and the coming of the winter. Fear that is within you now, that seems to never end. have escaped you, and I hope that you've forgotten. And you tell me that you need me now, and you want to be my friend, and you wonder where we're going, where's the rhyme and where's the reason, and that you cannot accept. It is here we must begin to seek the wisdom of the children.
Rovers with Rhymes and Reasons. This is Henry Van Morgan, soon to be joined by Harriet Van Horn, a lady writer who has some sharp observations on marriage and marriage counselors. The reason for this, it seems that some of them are fake, both the counselors and the marriages. Now let's hear about a real trip.
I'm a big person.
If you want to know what it's like to fly a Pan Am 747, just ask a man who's flown one. We did.
More like really sitting in a hotel lounge than in an airplane. It's a completely different feeling altogether. It's quiet. It's very smooth. You have an extremely comfortable chair to sit in. You have every facility, your controls, your own comfort, with your lighting and your controls by your seat are all absolutely first class. It's the first aircraft, or one of the first aircrafts that I've ever flown in, that you can put as many belongings up on the rack above you, which is all enclosed.
Now you can fly a Pan Am 747 to Europe any day of the week at no extra fare. For reservations and information, call a Pan Am travel agent or stop in at any Pan Am ticket office.
Pan Am, by taking the initiative in this, have assured themselves of a tremendous future with this wonderful aeroplane.
Wives, if you had a marriage problem, what would you do? Right, dear Abby? Ignore it and hope it would go away? Or would you seek the help of a marriage counselor? If your answer was number 3, there's an article you should read in the February issue of Family Circle magazine. It's called Unhappy Wives, Prey of Fake Counselors, written by Harriet Van Horn, the celebrated newspaper columnist. Miss Van Horn, how'd you do all the investigating required for this report?
Well, I went to see some marriage counselors. I've had many telephone interviews, and I read several books. And I talked to some unhappy wives. They're awfully hard to find, of course.
What did you do, just stop passers-by?
Put out a net. No, I knew of some people who had gone to marriage counselors, and I chatted with them. That was the least rewarding part of my research, however. I think what I turned up about bogus counselors in talking to some legitimate ones. For example, there was once a group in New York City, a group having group therapy. And everybody who came and said, my marriage is in trouble, was given the same advice. You are sexually inhibited. And so assignations were arranged. And the members of this little ring, the self-styled therapists, were clearing thousands of dollars a week. And they also would arrange evidence for divorces. Or they were virtuoso counselors, to say the least.
I rather fancy some parts of that idea. It sounds like I never thought you could make money out of that old business of throwing the house keys into the circle in the middle of the room.
I dare say, until the Bureau of Rackets cracks down upon you.
Well, now we get to the real stuff. How can a woman spot a fake counselor?
What you must ask the therapist when you go for your consultation is, what is his training, what is his background, and most important, is he a member of the professional association? Now, this is like asking a doctor, are you AMA? If he's not in the AMA, you know he's a quack. Well, if a marriage counselor does not belong to the Association of Marriage Counselors, chances are he's a former bartender, masseur, cruise director, as indeed some of those arrested by the police were. They had no professional training, no degrees.
Mm-hmm. Well, men go too, don't they?
Oh, yes, but interestingly, it's very hard for the wife who goes to get her husband to go. Almost never, the counselors tell me, does a husband come without his wife. First the wife comes, and then she screams, nags, begs, and finally this poor, complaining, protesting man comes. They see them separately, and they see them together. The advice they give is surprising. They don't say, now you must go home and do X, Y, and Z, and everything will be fine. Their advice is questions. What bothers you about her? All right, she's messy and untidy and extravagant. Very well, she says you're cold and unfeeling and you drink too much. I mean, it's that sort of thing. And each side is persuaded to give a little, give a lot, actually. You know the saying, each side must give 90%. You fail to do so, and you have a bad marriage.
Do you believe that?
Well, I do think one has to give a great deal. I was fortunate. I had a very nice, very happy marriage. My husband died a few years ago. And yes, when you're first married, you don't realize that. You must always think of the other person first. If you can't do that, you're really not being a good wife or husband.
That's interesting. My mother used to say you had to give 51%.
Well, times have changed. Inflation. You now must give 90.
You're traveling through the weekend world with Monitor.
Pan Am 747 speaks for itself. Just listen to these Pan Am passengers.
I thought it was glorious. I'm so big, I love big spaces. It just gives you an entirely new feeling about traveling, I think.
A fantastic width compared to a normal aircraft.
Much more of a homey atmosphere. It's not quite so formal somehow. Being able to walk around and talk to people, and it's very convenient.
What I appreciate also is the big screen for the movie and flight. Well, I would say that Pan Am 747 has given the tourist rider an opportunity to enjoy a little bit more of a first-class type of flight.
Our only worry is that our company, when they see how comfortable it is, will stop us flying first class. That's the only...
You've been listening to the plane that speaks for itself. Pan Am 747, the plane with all the room in the world. For reservations to Europe and the Caribbean, call a Pan Am travel agent and ask for a Pan Am 747. WNBC, New York.
I gave the wrong cue. Now, I want it understood that I am not on strike. Nor is this a lockout. I just gave the wrong cue. I was supposed to say something about the fact that Miss Van Horn would be back later, which she will be, and I didn't say that, and I should have said something about the monitor beacon, and I didn't say that. And I got the thing out of order. Now, what I say now, I said before, but now I do it right, because I'm not, repeat, not on strike. You're traveling through the weekend world with Monitor.
Monitor, your weekend host in 1970. Monitor, radio, Monitor, NBC. Monitor, radio.
Williams with Can't Help Falling in Love with You. Back to the subject of marriage, marriage problems, and marriage counselors. My guest is Harriet Van Horn, who has an article about fake marriage counselors in this month's Family Circle magazine. Miss Van Horn, describe the kind of woman who goes to a marriage counselor.
Well, the average one who finally goes is desperate, because it is after you've told your mother, you've told your friends, you've told your doctor, your dentist, your... Finally, you've got to talk to somebody who's professional. And when you arrive at the state where you turn outside, you are desperate. And this is why the fake marriage counselors are quite horrible people, because they take advantage of this tearful, confused woman who says, he doesn't love me anymore, or he's staying away all night. You know, they're jittery, nervous wrecks when they finally turn to someone for assistance. But marriage counselors, listening to these, I can't imagine a worse job. Can you, listening all day long to people saying, and then he said to me, and then he did something really unforgivable. 8 hours of this a day, it's a wonder their marriages hold together. But they're able to predict the crisis points in a marriage. And oh, something else in the article that might interest you, the kinds of marriages most likely to fail. Would you like to know which kind are practically doomed from the start?
Yes, I would.
Teenage marriages, shotgun marriages, interracial and, to a lesser degree, interfaith marriages, and marriages in which there is either an enormous difference in age or in educational and social background.
Well, that sort of seems automatic. You have a built-in disaster.
Yes, yes.
You're asking for it.
Yes, and teenage shotgun marriages are the most unlikely of all.
Well, now, for years you did television criticism, and I know that a great part of television is what we still call the soap operas in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they give much comfort to women with marriage problems?
I think they do, Henry, because women who have a bad marriage tune in and see a marriage perhaps that's far worse. Oh, the things that happen in soap opera. You know, all the sudden seizures of madness and the strange operations where the surgeon falls in love with the patient and so on, and his dear sweet wife starts hanging around the hospital corridors. And but these things don't happen to the average little woman out in Teaneck or wherever. She suddenly thinks, well, poor Charlie isn't so bad. Of course, he drinks a bit, but nothing like that.
Well, now, what do you suppose is going on in the world today? Is this a romantic era?
I don't think it is. I think it's anti-romantic. I think the music is unromantic, that hard, driving, hostile, nakedly sexual music. I think the clothes are ugly. I think the clunky shoe, the miniskirt, the girl with her face made up like a lemur, the maxi coat dragging in the dust, the boy who's a hairy beast. No, I don't think it's romantic at all. I think that it was very nice that you and I, Henry, had our romantic yearnings when romance was rather pretty and lovely and gratifying.
Yeah, I think I get in on the far edge of it myself. It was just beginning to wither. I think the leaves were turning brown around the edges. But I do remember when it was much gentler.
You do? Well, you mean if you think back... Henry, I'm not older than you.
That is true. Hardly anybody is. All right, put it this way. If you had an age that you would rather live in than this one, which one would you have chosen?
Oh, I think I'd have chosen... Oh, that lovely period just before World War I, when the world was at peace and...
And it looked as though it would be forever.
Yes, yes. I think that was a beautiful, tranquil, gentle period, and I'd have lived in England. That was the time to be alive, just before 1914. Of course, the 18th century, you'd have been at a lusty, vivid, colorful age.
I'd like to have done restoration drama when it was restoration time.
Yes, yes. Those were bawdy days.
Yes, quite true. We've been talking about, well, we started talking about fake marriage counselors with the real Harriet Van Horn, whose article on it appears in Family Circle magazine for February. Nice to see you again. Thank you very much,
Harriet. Thank you very much, Henry.
Here's Peggy Lee's love story.
I like your brother. I like your mother. I like you. And you like me too. We'll get a preacher.
Thank you.
by the fire. When our kids are grown, with kids their own, they'll send us away to a little home in Florida. We'll play checkers in the sun, playing checkers can be fun.
This is Al Cap. The other day, a fella said, Al, you keep telling us about all the money you save with your low-cost homeowners policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty. Well, what do you do with all that money? I do what everybody does. I pay my wife's bills with it. I cry.
For your car, your home, your life, and your health, State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
And baby, I love you. Morgan and Monitor listening for what's going on in the world.
News time is coming up now. Ba 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 ba. Monitor Radio. Monitor Radio.
Your son may become a scientist. Joe's daughter may become a doctor. Millions of Americans want something better for their children. They're sending them to college to become the new movers and doers of our society. But tuition bills aren't paying for it. Only about one-third of the costs, as a matter of fact, are paid for by tuitions. That makes higher education a bargain. It also makes it a concern. Our colleges are keeping higher education moving ahead with facilities to explore new knowledge, with faculties increasing in size and brilliance, with new classrooms, dorms, labs, and libraries. The costs for all these are multiplying. The result is our colleges and universities are in a financial crisis. They need more money from voluntary sources to help meet the bills. The dollar difference that tuition doesn't pay now amounts to billions. Give to the college of your choice, says the Council for Financial Aid to Education.
WNBC, New York.